Let's jump into prayer as we get into God's word this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we're so thankful and so grateful that you set aside this time for us to spend with you, God. God, we are so grateful that our friends and family can be a part of this. God, as we look into your word today, I pray, Father, that you move hearts. God, that you move me out of the way, God, so that your word can be heard clear and crystal, Father. God, help us to love you the way that you love us, Father. God, we know that's impossible, but God, let us make every effort to do so. This morning, we're thankful, we're grateful, we love you, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, Father, and all these things we ask and pray in your holy and precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 This morning, the title of the sermon is "The Choice is Yours." There's only 2 points to the sermon this morning, and I pray that that we can really take these 2 points to heart. The first point is either you will, and the second point is or you won't. And on Valentine's Day, that's probably not a popular topic to talk about, but it's what the Holy Spirit put on my heart, so we're going to trust the Holy Spirit this morning. Amen? Amen. If you would, be turning your Bibles over to Matthew 7 for me. We're going to start in Matthew 7, verse 21. In Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Heck of a way to start off a Valentine's sermon, huh? This passage, it's been interpreted several different ways, but let's look at this morning, because with God, it's about a relationship. It's not about lip service. And I want to talk to our hearts this morning. I want to talk to us as brothers and sisters. I want to talk to us as friends and family. And if you're visiting for the first time, I hope that God says something to your heart as well this morning, because here in verses 21 through 23, these guys were doing some amazing things. It says, "Didn't I drive out demons in your name? Didn't I prophesy for you?" They were doing some amazing things, but they were missing the main point. See, in a relationship, it's not about lip service. You know, as a spouse wants to hear, "I love you," but they also want to feel that love. We can say, "I love you" all day long, but if that we aren't making that person feel that love, there's a disconnect there somewhere. And this is that disconnect we're going to talk about today with our relationship with God. See, knowing God's will and doing the will of God are two completely different things. And so for a lot of times, it's easy for us to think, "Oh, this person, no, I love them." Or, "That person, no, I love them," but we don't do anything to show them. And we can treat God's word the same way. God knows I love him. I don't have to show God I love him, although he shows me every day. I don't have to show God. I tell him. Every morning I get up in my prayer, I tell God I love him. I may even read my Bible. I may even go to church. I may even stop doing some of the things that I know are wrong. But as long as I tell God I love him, we're okay. God is saying, "That's not the relationship I want from you. That's not the relationship I desire from you." And this morning, I want that relationship that God desires. God wants a relationship with us where not only we tell him we love him, but we show him we love him. And it's not about lip service. It's not about doing and looking and saying all the right things. It's about us doing, saying those things because of our heart, because we really mean it. You know, it's so easy to get caught up, you know, in a group atmosphere. You know, these guys said, hey, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? And here at the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett, it can be easy for us sometimes to think like this. We at the Atlanta Church of Christ study the Bible with many people. We at the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett serve the homeless and the lost. We at the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett, and you fill in the blanks. We do a lot of things. But God is saying, that's great, but what about you? God is looking for a direct one-on-one relationship. Now, yes, he's going to love us collectively, but he's talking about that one-on-one relationship. Right. You know, I share with you guys, you know, with my wife, you know, I have a huge family, and my wife loved me and my family. My wife, you know, she has a pretty decent-sized family. I love her and her family. But I love my wife completely different than the way I love the rest of her family. I talk to my wife completely different than the way I talk to the rest of my family. Why? Because of our relationship. And that's what God is looking for from all of us this morning. God is looking for that personal relationship, not the collective. Because what happens when we have that collective relationship, it's easy to hide behind somebody else and let them talk to God. And we will only talk to God when things get hard or when things are just kind of crazy in our lives. Then we feel like, hey, now it's time to go and talk to God. And if you are anything like me, you could easily feel like, man, now I need to talk to God, but I know God's not going to listen to me because of the sin in my life, because I haven't been talking to him. And you talk yourself out of going and talking to God. You feel like, yeah, the person beside me can probably go and talk to God. And what we tend to do is we tend to share and tell our problems and our issues to a person, hoping they can pray for us about it, which is good. But what we do is we leave God out of that equation. We get so caught up in this person over here is doing great spiritually, or that person's doing great. So I'm going to share with them what's going on in my life. When God is there the whole time saying, I'm the one who wanted that relationship, and you're giving it to someone else. This morning, I pray that we take that relationship back from whomever we've given it to and give it to God where it deserves to be. Amen. Jesus reminds us of this when he says, away from me, you evildoer. Away from me, you evildoer. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was reading that passage, I had to read it again this morning. I was like, whoa, why would Jesus say, away from me, you evildoer, when it seemed like this person is trying to do something right? It seemed like they were trying to drive out demons. They were trying to help. They were trying to do some great things. Jesus says, away from me, you evildoer, for I never knew you. And see, in a big group like this, it'd be very easy to say, oh, hey, I don't know that person, or I don't know that person. Oh, I know Jolisha because we have a relationship. I know her very well. And what happened is, guys, we can tend to think, and I know I've certainly been guilty of this, we can tend to think, because I go to church, because I read my Bible, because I pray, because I study the Bible with people, we can tend to think that it becomes about I. And less about Jesus. We can tend to think, I've done some great things. I've done this. I've done that. So the relationship now gets turned to and becomes a one-sided relationship. It's not about we anymore, it's I. Because these people, as sincere as they were, really believed, I've done some great things. And they were missing the boat. And Jesus says some pretty harsh words to them. Away from me, you evildoer, for I never knew you. Now, how is it that Jesus never knew these people? And they were with the group. They were with the same group doing all these great things. They were out healing. They were out prophesying. They were out doing some amazing things. So how is it that Jesus did not know them? But he knew the rest. Will that happen in this room? Will any of us go to Jesus and he tell us, away from me, I never knew you? Do you have a personal relationship with God that Jesus knows exactly who you are? And if you don't, I pray that you take it serious and you get this on straight, because he wants that relationship with you. Worst things in the world we could ever hear is, away from me, I never knew you. I'll tell you, I don't want to hear that. And I pray that none of you have to hear that. Turn over to Luke 13 with me, because as we look at what Jesus is saying to this group of people, I want us to also look at what could Jesus possibly say to this group of people. Because I definitely know we have a lot of those same attributes, a lot of those same characteristics that these guys had. You know, we want to do some amazing things for God as a people, as a church. And God is using us to do some amazing things. And I pray that we don't ever take that lightly. But what God really wants is the relationship. In Luke 13, starting in verse 22, it says, then Jesus went through the towns and the villages teaching. As he made his way to Jerusalem, someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth. And I want to stop right there, because Jesus gets a little bit more personal here. See, now it's not just a group who's out teaching and preaching. Now Jesus says, hey, these people say, hey, but we ate with you. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone's going to be in my home, sitting down at my table eating, I'm probably going to know who they are, right? You're probably not just going to run off the street and run in my house and just start eating my food. First, I want to know, hey, who are you? Or did you bring something to the, what's going on here? You know, but I need to know, who are you? If you're just going to come in and we're going to sit down and eat together. Because this is an intimate time. And I love the time when our family get together and we have dinner, you know, because we get to talk about everything. I get to hear everything from what happened at school to, you know, what's going on in politics. Don't ask me how a 9-year-old know much about politics, but you get to hear all this stuff. You know, that intimate time, it's not just a time for me to get to know that person. It's also for that person to get to know me, which is what Jesus is trying to do. Jesus is trying to get to know us. He's asking for some personal time with each and every one of us because he loves us so much. You know, that choice that we all have to enter into this personal relationship, it's really up to us. Each and every one of us has a choice to make. And some of us will decide today, wow, I do want to be in a relationship with Jesus. I do want him to know who I am. But my fear is that some of us will walk out of here today and think, I'm already in a relationship with him. I don't need to do any more to make this relationship special. It's just how I like it. I talk to him when I feel like being bothered, and he talks to me when he wants to. If I don't want to be bothered, I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to come to church if I don't want. I don't have to read my Bible if I don't want. I don't need discipling. My relationship is exactly where I want it to be. How's your relationship this morning? When was the last time you made God feel extra special? You know, Valentine's Day, it's easy for us to make our significant others feel special because of the relationship. But when was the last time you just stopped and said, man, tomorrow is God's day. I'm making God feel special tomorrow. I want God to be encouraged and have a smile on his face tomorrow. And you go all out. You do things that you normally wouldn't do. You start off by singing him a song. And I'm probably one of the worst singers in here. But I tell you, I get so encouraged. And I told him, I said, you know what, man? This person encourages my soul every time I see him. And many of you may know him. He really give God his all. You can tell he want God to be encouraged. And every time there's a song on or somebody is talking about a scripture, he gives it 110% to the point where some of us have to stop and just and be in bewilderment like, wow, I would never expect this person to be the one doing that. And you know who I'm talking about? This young man right here. Stand up and show him who I'm talking about. I'm talking about right here. We need to imitate that. Because a lot of us hold back our love for God, whether it's in singing, whether it's in worshiping. But God never holds his love back from us. Ever. And so why aren't we like that? Are we worried about what people around us are going to say or think? See, God doesn't have to worry about any of that. He don't worry about what our friends think. When he shows us love, he shows us love. And he doesn't worry about all of that. And I'm so grateful that he's that way. Because I need a lot of it. So remember, you know, the choice is yours this morning. What choice will you make? God is there waiting to enter into this great relationship with you. But do it without your consent. You have to agree to be into this in this relationship with God. But God is looking for you to be in this relationship wholehearted because he's all the way in. He's not half stepping in his relationship with you. My second point. The choice is yours. Either you will or you won't. You know, in any decision we make, whether we decide to enter into this relationship with God or we decide I want things to stay the way they are or I want things to change completely, there's a thought process that we have to go through. There is a cost that we have to count. Because if I enter into a relationship with God, that means I'm going to have to start giving a little bit more. I'm going to have to start doing some things that I may not feel comfortable doing. When I entered into a dating relationship with my wife, there were some things that I had to start doing that I just wasn't comfortable doing at first. And I remember when I first started liking her, I remember when me and Joe Brand were roommates, and it was so good seeing him this morning. Me and Joe Brand were roommates, and we were staying down in the dungeon at the time, and we would talk about everything. And, man, it was for two guys to have absolutely nothing. You're talking about having the best time of your life. You know, when you have nothing, it's easy to have fun, you know, because you don't know what anything else is like, you know. And so I remember thinking, wow, man, if I ask this girl to be my girlfriend, that means, okay, now I got to start planning for a date every weekend. Okay, I got to start making each date special. There were some things that I was going to have to start doing. And I had to count the cost. Okay, Tony, can you do this? Because let me just tell you, my nature can be very selfish. There are some Saturdays Duke may be playing North Carolina. And there's a wing spot up the street. And I may have just gotten paid enough money to get a big bowl of wings. Or I plan out this day to make it special for Jaleesha. Now, see, I laugh, but I'm being serious, guys. That was a hard choice. You would think, yeah, for a knucklehead, that's a hard choice. That's simple for the rest of you spiritual people. But remember what I told you, I am very unspiritual. And so it was a very hard choice. But thank God I made the right one. But you better believe I was trying to find somebody to take that game, boy, to see who won. Joel was a North Carolina Tar Heel, and I was a Duke Blue Devil, and man, it was some epic battles. But those dates have always been better with my wife. Amen. Turn over to Luke 14 with me. You know, when you're making those decisions, like I was saying, guys, there's a cost that we all have to count. Do I really want to invest everything I have into this relationship with God? Or do I want to keep some back for myself in case it doesn't work out? In Luke 14, starting in verse 25, it says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Sound familiar? And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. This morning, there's a hard cost to count for all of us. If we truly want to be in a relationship with God, we have to count the costs. God is saying, as we count this cost, we have to be willing to give up everything. He's not asking us to do anything he hasn't already done. He's saying, look, hey, the relationship that I desire, it requires everything. Everything you have, everything you are, everything you will be. God is saying, I require it. I want it. And for me, even studying the Bible, it was hard because there were some things I didn't want to give up. I wanted a relationship with God, But there were some things I still wanted to hold on to. I used to curse like a sailor. I didn't think I could hold a conversation without cursing. You'd ask me to recite the alphabet, and before I got to Z, I'd probably throw a few curse words in there. That's just how warped my mind was. God was saying, you got to give that up. But my inner being did not want to give it up. But I wanted a relationship with God. This morning, you have to ask yourself, how bad do you want a relationship with God? Or how bad do you want to hold on to that one thing God is asking you to give up for? In verse 34 and 35, I love this because he's talking to us as older Christians here. He says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown away. And see, for some of us older Christians who's been around for a while, we can tend to lose that saltiness. We can tend to lose that gratitude and that love we had at first for God because we become complacent. We settle. And we don't have the desire to no longer give up everything because we felt like we've given up so much in the past that that was enough. That'll carry me on to the finish line. God says, if we lose that saltiness, how can we make it salty again? God is imploring us, don't lose that saltiness. Brothers and sisters, it can happen right in this room. Because we will depend on other people and other things opposed to depending on God. God says, no, no, I want you to give up everything because everything you give up for me, I'll give you back 100-fold. And I don't know about you, but I believe that. I really do believe that. With every fiber in my being, I believe that God loves me that much. But I also believe that God loves each and every one of you that much. Now it's time to start showing him and stop the lip service. Right? Because see, in this relationship, it's not about us. It really is. And we hear that cliche all the time. It's about God. But God made it clear. He says, hey, listen, you will now be on my terms, no longer on your terms, when you count this cost. All right? Because it's easy to fall back onto our terms. Okay, God, I'm going to love you, but this is how I'm going to love you. I'm only going to love you on Sundays and Wednesdays because it's easy. I know I'm supposed to be at church. Got it. I'm going to love you then. But the other days of the week, if I have time, I will. God, I'll read my Bible if I get up in time. I'll spend some quality time with you, God, if it doesn't interfere with what I'm doing. God says, no. We got it wrong. Those aren't the terms that I'm setting here. The terms that I'm setting is going to require you to spend time with me every day. Because when we wake up, God is already woke, waiting on us to open our eyes to spend time with him. That's the type of love God has for us. And I tell you, it's nothing greater than waking up, spending time with God, getting encouraged by God's word. There's no feeling like it. It helps your day go better. It clears your mind of so much stress and so much craziness. And God is saying, hey, that's what I want from you. You know, in closing, I want to share something with you guys. That it's pretty profound. Because as we know, as we try to count the costs, and with that cost, a lot of us make the decision, no, I won't. But as I share this with you, I really want you to think about what's happening in this story here. And prayerfully, you can relate it to something going on in your life. So there was this father who had a daughter who complained to her father all the time that her life was miserable. If you're a parent, that probably sounds familiar. And that she doesn't know how she was going to make it. She was tired of fighting and struggling all the time. It seemed just as one problem was solved, another one would soon follow. Her father, who was a chef, took her to the kitchen. He filled three pots with water and placed each one of them on the fire. Once the three pots began to boil, he placed a potato in one. In the second pot, he placed coffee beans, and in the third pot, he placed an egg. He then let them sit and boil without saying a word to his daughter. The daughter moaned and impatiently waited, wondering, okay, Dad, what is this about? After 20 minutes, he turned off the burners. He took the potatoes out of the pot and placed them in a bowl. He pulled the egg out of the pot and placed it in a bowl. He then took the coffee and poured it in a cup. Turning to her, he asked his daughter, what do you see? Potatoes, eggs, and coffee, she hastily replied. Look a little closer, he said, and touch the potatoes. She did, and she noted that they were soft. He then asked her to take the egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg. Now the egg is hard. Finally, he asked her to sip the coffee. Its rich aroma brought a smile to her face that morning. Father, she said, what does all this mean? He then explained that the potatoes, the eggs, and the coffee beans all had each faced the same adversity, which was the boiling water. However, each one reacted differently. The potato went in strong, went in hard and unrelenting. But in the boiling water, it came out soft and weak. The egg went in fragile with its thin outer shell, protecting it, its liquid inside, until it was put in the boiling water. Then the inside of the egg became hard. However, the ground coffee beans were unique. After they were exposed to the boiling water, they changed the water and created something new. Which are you? The father asked the daughter. When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you the potato, an egg, or are you the coffee bean? And see, the whole point of this is, in life, brothers and sisters, we're going to face things around us. Things are going to happen. Things are going to come up. But the only thing that truly matters is what's in us. See, we can choose to change our circumstances by our relationship with God, or we can let our circumstances change us. Because just like the potato, which was hard, some of us may have come in here this morning very hard, very unrelenting, have gone through some hard things in life. And the world beats us up and tells us, oh, we can't be anything but what you are. Or you may have come in here like the egg, very fragile, you know, very timid, very afraid to trust. Or lastly, like the coffee. Maybe you came in here looking to get change. See, the coffee is the one thing that changed its surrounding. The coffee changed the water. The water didn't change the coffee like it did the egg and the potato. And what God is telling each and every one of us is that we can change this world. We can be different with Him. With our relationship with God, we don't have to be conformed to the pattern of this world anymore. We can be different. We can all live like this coffee by changing our circumstances, by changing our lives, by changing our relationship with God. And I pray that we all leave here this morning changed, different men and women, because our relationship with God. To God be the glory.
Give it up to Tony King. Thank you so much, Tony, for helping us to really make a choice. You know, the choice is ours. You know, it's your choice to decide, you know, what path you want to make as far as knowing God's will and doing it, or just knowing God's will and just saying, hey, somebody else got to do it. So that was an amazing service today. If you missed the class on Romans 6, I would really suggest that you go online and listen to it. Alan did an awesome job on explaining what intrinsic motivation is versus extrinsic. That's what I took out. And I'm going to study on that because talk about changing your mind, that will change your mind. Before we are dismissed, there's an announcement. Now, what the sermon was about making the choice, we have Daniel Ming made the choice to become a disciple. So there will be a baptism. He will be baptized today at the Rouses at 1:30. The address is 2675 Wyndham Place Drive. Congratulations, Dan. Let's go to God. Father God in heaven, Father, hallowed be your name. Father God, you are so awesome. Father, there is no God but you, Father. Father, your word says, Father, that you desire mercy and not sacrifice. Father God, you do not desire the offerings, our sacrifices, what we do for you or whatever, Father, because, Father, you called us out of the darkness, Father, not because of how good we are, but, Father, how we really need you. Father God, just so grateful, Father, that we can celebrate a day of love today. Father, help us not to be crowded by the commercialism of this, but, Father, the genuine love that you show for us, that, Father, you love us unconditionally. Father, let us love each other unconditionally, Father God, that this is not, that, Father, our enemies are not flesh and blood. Father, our enemies are the spirits, the things that are happening around us that we have no control of. But, Father, you have control of them. And, Father, we ask, Father, that we be closer as a church in that area, Father God, that we can rely on one another, we can lift each other up, Father, that, Father, we can carry each other on to the glory land, Father God. Father God, I also pray for the sick. I pray for Huntley's dad. I pray for the victories too, Father God. I see Betty, the Browns here, Father God. What an encouragement, Father God. Father, you walk with us. We ask your spirit to lead us. Your perfect spirit, Father, that you lead us in every way of our lives, Father God. We pray this, trusting and believing in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.